Let's open our Bibles then to Revelation chapter 22. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming soon. Here is how John puts it in John 22, verse 7. John 22, verse 7. "And behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Verse 12. "Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done." Verse 20. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I'm coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Clearly, the Lord Jesus is coming soon. He's coming quickly. At any moment, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, will come again. And when he comes, he's coming for those who are saved by his amazing grace. Everyone who knows Christ, who has been born again by the Spirit of God, will be caught up to be forever with the Lord. Everyone else, without exception, will be left behind. I have to ask you, are you ready for that day, that certain day, that day when the Lord Jesus returns? The coming of Jesus Christ is one of the fundamental doctrines of the Christian church. And I find it strange that in many churches, in many Christian organizations, this great subject is neglected. In fact, sometimes we who are premillennial in our theology are criticized very strongly and say we put too much emphasis on the coming of the Lord. Well, if you know the Bible, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, this is one of the dominant themes of Scripture. It is true, all of Scripture speaks to Christ. And as you read the Bible, you don't need to be a very diligent Bible student to see that over and over again, the people of God are to be looking for the coming of the Lord. Yes, he's coming, and he's coming soon. I want to say this morning, first of all, that our Lord Jesus is coming at any moment. John says he's coming soon, or he's coming quickly. And as we've learned, as we've studied the book of Revelation over these last few months, Jesus is coming back prior to the tribulation. In our study of Revelation, we've learned that Jesus may come at any moment. That is, the rapture of the church, the taking up of the people of God, will take place at any time without warning, and it will take place prior to the tribulation period. What's the next event in terms of God's prophetic calendar? It is the rapture of the church. And then there will occur on earth this terrible period, we've been studying it, called the tribulation, described graphically by John with these visions in Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 18. That period then, the end of the tribulation, will be followed by the return of Jesus Christ with power and glory to the earth to set up his millennial kingdom. Therefore, the church will not go through the tribulation. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, that our Lord Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. There are those here who disagree with me. That's fine. You will be taken up to be with the Lord if you're saved, even if you disagree with your pastor. That's okay. But how could you believe that after our study of Revelation? But there you are. But there are those who believe that Jesus is going to come after the tribulation period. That is, that the next event prophetically will be the tribulation period. And at the end of that, believers will be raptured to meet the Lord in the air and then return to the earth with the Lord as he comes with power and glory to establish his kingdom. So that post-tribulation view interprets the rapture of the church and the coming of Christ to earth with power and glory as one and the same event. In this view, Christ descends from heaven, he catches up the church, and then there's a kind of a U-turn as they come back with him to earth. Now, I want to give four reasons why we believe from Scripture that the rapture of the church is before the tribulation period. Four reasons. First, Jesus may come at any moment. That's the clear teaching of Scripture. According to the teaching of the New Testament, the return of Jesus is imminent. That is, it may occur at any moment. Let's look at some of these scriptures. Philippians 3, for example, verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. Here is Paul. He says, our citizenship is in heaven. Interesting, isn't it? Our citizenship is in heaven. It was very difficult for my wife and I to become citizens of the U.S. A lot of red tape, fingerprints, FBI checkups, and all the rest of it. Great to be a citizen of the U.S. Great to be a citizen of the United Kingdom. But here is a far better citizenship. Our citizenship, says Paul, is in heaven. That's a permanent citizenship. No immigration authorities to stop you getting in. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is waiting for a Savior from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And then over to Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus 2, verse 13. Waiting. What's Paul saying to Titus? That the people of God are to be waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for our blessed hope. What's the blessed hope of the believer? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Waiting for our blessed hope. What's the blessed hope of the believer, says Paul? It is the appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then over to James, book of Hebrews, right after Hebrews, James, James chapter 5. James 5, verse 7. You say James is a very practical book. Yes, it is very practical, because the coming of the Lord is a very practical subject. James 5, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. This concept of waiting, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Don't grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. These scriptures and others present the imminent return of Jesus. The New Testament is telling us and exhorting us that at any moment, Jesus Christ may come. Other events may take place before the rapture, but no event must take place. If Jesus Christ returns during the tribulation or after the tribulation, the rapture can't be said to be imminent, but it is imminent. It may happen at any moment. If Jesus was going to return during the tribulation or after the tribulation, we would be looking not for Christ, but we would be looking for the tribulation. We would be speculating about the Antichrist. But the New Testament is full of a sense of expectancy, the blessed hope of Jesus. The New Testament writers are saying, look up, Jesus may come at any moment. His return is imminent, coming at any moment. And rather than speculating about signs, as people do, trying to read today's world's events into Scripture, which I think is a very dangerous pursuit. I realize it sells books, it sells videos, it gets people on the prophecy circuit. But rather than doing that, let's accept the clear teaching of Scripture, which instructs us to be looking up, to be waiting, to have this blessed hope, because at any moment, Jesus may come. He's coming soon. So first of all, Jesus may come at any moment, is the teaching of the New Testament. Secondly, Jesus is coming for the church, his bride. You say, what's the church? Well, the church began in Acts 2 on the great day of Pentecost. And when Jesus comes, he's coming for his bride. He's coming for the church. It will be the church which is raptured. As we studied Revelation, we saw in Revelation 2 and 3, John's letters to the seven churches, seven actual churches on earth at the time. But then when we came to Revelation 4 and 5, we saw that the church is no longer on earth, the church is in heaven. Why? Because the church had been raptured. And then from Revelation 6 through Revelation 18, with all of the details of the tribulation, you remember the seals, you remember the trumpets, you remember the bowls. As we worked our way through these incredible chapters, where is the church? There is no mention of the church, because the church has been raptured prior to the tribulation. And today, the gospel, the message of the good news of Jesus, goes to whoever. Whether you're Jewish, whether you're Gentile, whether you're American, whether you're Chinese, whether you're from Argentina or New Zealand, makes no difference. The message is this, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But the church today comprises Jew and Gentile. We're all one in Christ. But once the church is raptured and the events of the tribulation unfold, where is the focus? We saw this over and over again in our study of Revelation. The focus is on Israel. The focus is on the Jewish people. It is referred to the time of Jacob's trouble from Jeremiah 30, verse 7. The focus is on Israel. The 144,000 mentioned in Revelation 7 are 12,000, says John, from every tribe of the sons of Israel, Revelation 7, verse 4. So Jesus may come at any moment. Secondly, he's coming for the church, his bride. Third, think of this with me. This may not be so obvious. Those coming to faith in Jesus during the tribulation will enter the millennial kingdom. If the rapture is at the end of the tribulation period, as some people teach, who would populate the millennial kingdom? We saw in Revelation 7 that when Jesus returns with power and glory, he's going to set up his messianic kingdom, a period of 1,000 years where peace and righteousness are going to reign over the earth. Who's going to go into that millennial kingdom if the church is raptured at the end of the tribulation and Old Testament saints resurrected to their perfect glorious body? If the timing of the rapture is after the tribulation, there would be no natural bodies, there would be no physical people to enter into the millennial kingdom. But if the rapture is before the tribulation, as indeed it is, those who place their faith in Jesus Christ during the tribulation, as many will be martyred, we saw, but many people will come to saving faith during the tribulation, difficult although it may be, when Christ returns with power and glory, they are alive, they have natural physical bodies as we have, and they will enter into the millennial kingdom. All other believers, those resurrected or caught up at the time of the rapture, will rule and reign with Christ, as we saw in Revelation 19. Fourthly, the coming of Jesus is a great comforting truth. Another reason we believe that the rapture of the church is before the tribulation is that the rapture is described as a truth which brings comfort to the people of God. Jesus is about to leave his disciples in John chapter 14. He's going to go away. He's going to return to the Father. And what does he say to them? Let not your hearts be troubled. Why is that? He's going to leave them. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll do what? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a tremendously comforting truth. Paul says to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4, as he presents this great truth of the catching up of the people of God, when that trumpet sounds, when the Lord himself descends from heaven, people of God will be caught up. They'll meet one another in the air, the dead in Christ rising first. They'll meet their loved ones in the air, and they will be forever with the Lord. What does Paul say at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The church of Jesus Christ is to go through the judgments of the tribulation period, or even part of the tribulation. That's hardly a comforting truth, is it? No, Paul says that there is now no condemnation, no wrath to those who are in Christ Jesus. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 1. Scripture teaches that those who are presently trusting in the Savior will be delivered from the coming wrath of God. The tribulation is a period of God's wrath on the earth. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you'll never experience the wrath of God. You'll be delivered from that wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1. Are you following me on this? 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols. They were idolaters. You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. There it is, waiting for the Lord's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, what does he do? Who delivers us from the wrath to come. Wrath is coming, Paul says, but Jesus delivers us from that wrath. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, praise God, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. What is the tribulation period? It's a time of wrath, a time when God's judgment and God's wrath falls on this evil world. We saw, as we began the study of the seven seals, that the seal judgments are opened. Do you remember who opens the seven seals? By the Lamb of God. It is by our Savior who opens the seals. And you remember, as the seals begin to fall in chapter 6, men and women desire to hide. They would rather die, and they call out to the rocks to fall on them. They try to hide themselves from what? John says, from the wrath of the Lamb. You don't think of a lamb as wrath. It's your view of Jesus Christ, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And this future day, God's judgment is going to fall on the world during the tribulation period. His wrath is going to fall on it. Praise God. Scripture is saying that we who trust Christ will be delivered from the coming wrath. Remember the judgment of God at the time of Noah? Do you remember the judgment of God at the time of Abraham and Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah? Before the flood came, before the judgment of God fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, God's provision was provided. Go into the ark. And if you were in the ark, a picture of Christ, you were saved from the judgment of God. God is about to judge Sodom and Gomorrah because of their gross immorality. the judgment of God is going to fall on them. But there are a few, a very, very few righteous people still staying in Sodom and Gomorrah. And what was the word to them? Flee from the wrath to come. Don't look back. God's wrath was going to fall as it did in Sodom and Gomorrah. But before his judgment came, his people were delivered. And before the wrath of God falls on this earth, we, the people of God, will be caught up to be forever with the Lord. A word of great comfort. No wonder Paul said, it is the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our God and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. His bride, we who love him, will be kept from the judgments of the tribulation. He's coming soon. Now you say, John, that's well and good, but what am I to do with that? Well, here are three responses. Three responses for you and me to the Lord's soon return. He's coming soon. He's coming at any moment. What are we to do? First, be alert. Don't lose focus. Be alert. Don't lose focus. Did you notice in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10 about these believers in Thessalonica? What were they doing? Oh, they turned from their idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. They had their priorities right. They were waiting for God's Son from heaven, but as they waited, they were serving God. And as they served God, they were waiting. What are we to do? Jesus is coming at any moment. Just sit back and say, well, it's in the hands of God. There's nothing that we can do. I'm just going to sit around. No, that's not the response of Scripture. We are to be alert. We are to be focused. He's coming back. Therefore, meantime, love and serve God. Don't lose your focus. Be alert. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Would you describe yourself as you follow Jesus as a person who's alert, a person who is focused? You're someone who just drifts along, just going with the flow. There's no sense of urgency. There's no self-control. You're not really alert. There is no focus to your life. See, if we really believe that Jesus can come at any moment, as I believe he can, wouldn't that mean that we reassess our priorities? An athlete getting ready for the contest is disciplined and focused. Someone at the beginning of the service, instead of talking about the Lord, asked me what I thought about the Portugal-Mexico game later today. Well, I really don't know who's going to win. But I do know this. The kickoff is in 30 minutes. Keep away from your iPhones. And if you know the score, don't tell it to us. But I do know this, that these athletes are focused. They're alert. They are prepared. They've got a huge game. They're going to be under the camera. And they are prepared and they are alert. Remember when I lived in Pittsburgh, being invited to speak to the Steelers before the game. And you have breakfast. We go into the hotel room. And there they are. And you never ever have to say to them, man, listen up. It's quite intimidating at these huge men. I feel small. I feel puny. And there they are, and they're sort of staring at you. They're professional athletes. They know about focus. They know alert. They are trained. They are ready to go. How different it is sometimes for us who follow Jesus. What's important to you? What do you count of value? Jesus is coming, and you're just drifting along. No, these Thessalonians they got rid of their idols. They're now serving and loving the true God. Paul is amazed that even though they've been Christians for such a short time, they are spreading the gospel in the whole region. They're busy, they're alert, they're focused. They know Jesus can come at any moment. Isn't it time to reassess your priorities in life? C.S. Lewis said, we're living each day as though it were our last, but planning as though our world might last 100 years. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I believe he can come at any moment. I believe he can come right now. Does that mean we just sit and do nothing? Absolutely not. C.S. Lewis is right. We live this day as if it were our last, but we plan as if we're going to be here for 100 years. People need Christ. People are lost. We're to be alert. We're to be disciplined. He's coming soon. Don't lose focus. This is serious business. Number one, be alert. Don't lose focus. Number two, be holy. Don't compromise. This needs to be said today, doesn't it? Be holy. Don't compromise. Today is Father's Day. Some of you were really relieved that I wasn't going to come up and beat up on you as fathers. To hear what you've heard 100 times before. Listen, you know what it is to be a godly father. You really don't need me to tell you. But the question is, are you doing it? And as I thought of this, men, do you know the greatest gift that you could give your family, your children? Do you know what it is? To be a holy man. Do you know the greatest gift that I and the other pastors could give this congregation? That we are holy men. Jesus is coming, and he's saying to us, I can come at any moment, therefore be holy. Don't compromise with the world. Don't compromise with sin. Let me read again to you Titus, where Paul puts it beautifully. Titus 2, let me read from verse 11. Listen carefully. He says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Now notice this, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, are you listening, men? Self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Notice how Paul takes this so beautifully. Yes, we are waiting for the appearing, that blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's true. But, says Paul, because of that, train yourself to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Jesus is coming soon. We're his bride. And Paul anticipates that great day when the church, the bride, will be presented to Christ, as he says in Ephesians 5:27, in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and blameless. See, if you believe, as I do, that the Lord Jesus can come at any moment, that motivates you to live a clean, holy, consecrated life today, this moment, this day. I'm not saying, well, tomorrow I'll clean up my life, I'll confess my sins to the Lord. No, today, no. What am I saying to you? Be holy. Don't compromise. To use Paul's words here, what are you to renounce? Men, what's ungodly in your life? Any worldly passion, as Paul would put it? What are you personally to renounce? Answer that question before the Lord. What is there in your life that is defiling, that is unholy? Man, as the spiritual leaders of your home, it's your responsibility to make sure that there's no trash coming into your home. You would be appalled, wouldn't you, if you found your wife watching some junk, or if you found your 13-year-old daughter or son watching some junk. But what about you? What do you look at? Any junk in your life? Ungodliness? Worldly passions? Things that would defile? And Christ is coming, the Holy God. Peter says we love him. We don't see him, but we love him. And if you love someone, you long to be with them, to spend time with them. And our Savior is coming at any moment. He's holy, he's blameless. He's coming soon, he's coming quickly. Therefore, live a holy, godly life. Listen to John, 1 John 1. Chapter 3, 1 John 3, verse 1. John says, what kind of love the Father has given to us. He's talking about the manner of the love. What kind of love is this that God loves us? As I could say to you as a dad, in what way do you love your children? In what way does God love us as the perfect Heavenly Father? See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. That's great love, isn't it? That God not only forgives us, he adopts us, he brings us into his eternal family, that we're now children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself even as he is pure. A pure Christ is coming. We're in his family. God is our Father. He's forgiven our sins. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ if we're an authentic follower of Jesus. And he's coming. And we're going to be perfectly like him. Therefore, meantime, purify yourself as he is pure. What's the point? That future day, that day which will certainly take place, that future day impacts today. Before Gunny and I were married, she went back to the Faroe Islands to get ready for the wedding, and I was in Scotland, and we were separated from some time. Now, how does a couple who are engaged conduct themselves when they're separated from each other? I would have been appalled, astonished, if I thought my wife was dating men in Faroe during that time. Never went through my mind for a second that I would date another woman. I'm engaged to this beautiful woman. That day, the day of our wedding, impacts how we live today. And God gave me some instructions. I'd never been married before. I certainly never been married in the Faroe Islands. And so she gave me instructions, which I listened to, of course. Some of it was good news. There was no best man. There's no wedding party in the Faroe Islands. I like that. Let's keep it simple. A little strange, but there we are. What am I going to wear? No word of a kilt. Okay. I want you to wear a nice suit and a bow tie. I don't like bow ties. I mean, I know some of you are wearing bow ties. Nothing against it. It's just a personal thing. I only wear a bow tie if I'm wearing a kilt. And I wasn't wearing a kilt. I didn't want to wear a bow tie. But what did I wear at the wedding? You're right. I wore a bow tie. I was listening. Why? Because someone I loved was making some requests. And I was living today in Scotland in light of that day of my marriage. That's the point, isn't it? Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. Therefore, live today in the light of that day. Men, women, be holy. Don't compromise. He's coming soon. Thirdly, be ready. Don't be left behind. Be alert. Don't lose focus. Secondly, be holy. Don't compromise. Third, be ready. Don't be left behind. John 14, verse 4. Jesus has said, I'm going. And he says, verse 4, you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? How can we know the way to the Father's house? Jesus says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's coming soon. Be ready. Don't be left behind. Who's Jesus coming for? He's coming for his own. He's coming for his disciples, those who love him, those who belong to him, those who are saved by his grace. So I have to ask you, do you know Christ? Do you belong to Christ? Are you saved by the grace of God? If you don't belong to Christ, if you don't know him, you'll be left behind. See, he comes without warning. He comes like a thief in the night. He's coming soon. One day, one definite and glorious day, our Lord Jesus Christ will come for us. And all who love him will be caught up to be forever with him. How can you be ready? There's only one way. Jesus says, I'm the way. He's prepared the way. Through his death, his burial and resurrection, he's alive, the living Christ. And he will save you. He'll cleanse you. All of that sin, all of the junk of your life will totally be gone. You'll become a new creature in Christ and begin to do what the Thessalonians did, to turn from all of the past and to love and to serve our Savior and to wait that great day when you, with all of the redeemed, will be caught up to be forever with the Lord. The stage is set for the return of Jesus. Be ready, be watching for his Son from heaven. He's coming, so don't be left behind. He will come, surely come, quickly come, and his praise will rise from lips no longer dumb. For the weeping in the night oft has dimmed the vision bright, but he'll come. Yes, he'll come, quickly come. I thought we had a slide for that, maybe not. We will wait, calmly wait, watch and wait. With the eye of faith, alight with prospects great, wait amidst the gloom afar for the bright and morning star. We will wait. Yes, we'll wait. Calmly wait. 'Twill be soon, very soon, truly soon. In the morn, at eve, or midnight, or at noon. Soon we'll see that blessed face, once so marred for us in grace. 'Twill be soon. Yes, be soon. Very soon. I heard of a very short message which had 3 points. Point one, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The preacher said, that's my sin away. Point two, are not 5 sparrows sold for a penny, said Jesus, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. You're of more value than many sparrows. The preacher said, that's my second point, my cares away. My sin away, point one. Point two, my cares away. Point three, I shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The preacher said, that's myself away. Point one, my sin away. Point two, my cares away. Point three, myself away. Are you ready? He's coming soon. God has shown his great love and mercy and grace towards you. He offers you salvation in Jesus Christ. He comes to seek and to save the lost. If you don't know Christ, trust him. If you are a follower of Christ, be alert. Be holy, be ready, be waiting and watching for that great day. And meantime, Paul says, as we prepare our hearts for communion, he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until when? Until he comes. You know, this might be the last time we break bread together. No communion in heaven. We don't need that. Our faith will give place to sight. But meantime, we proclaim the Lord's death And we do it in the light of his soon return. We do it until he comes. John writes, "He who testifies to these things say, surely I'm coming soon. Amen. So come, Lord Jesus." Father, prepare our hearts now as we break bread. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for a magnificent Savior. Help us to live each day as if there were our last, looking and waiting for our blessed Savior. Thank you for this blessed hope we have. Thank you for Christ, who not only loves us and died for us and rose again, but is coming for us. And we eagerly anticipate that day when we shall be forever with the Lord. We thank you in his name. Amen.